If you weren't here last week, you missed a party. Amen? God showed up and a party broke out. And we had a great day last Sunday, a great day of celebrate. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. It's toward the front of the Bible, chapter 8. We're going to begin there this morning, and I'm wrapping up today, this week, and next week. Next Sunday will be the last message in this series, and I really hope this series has been encouraging to you in a lot of different ways, and we'll continue to do so. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about champions understand success, and one of the things that a champion understands about success is the key to success is keeping God first. Keeping God first. And today, I want to talk about how a champion handles success. Handles success. You know, the intoxication of success can entice anyone, can entice you to be a champion at any cost. Even a champion for God. Success can cost you your integrity. It can cost you your family, your testimony, your relationship with your children, and even cost you success itself. See, when the intoxication of success takes over, your gifts or your gifting will often take you where your character cannot keep you. You begin operating more out of your ability than the anointing of the Spirit who gives the gifts. So to be a champion of God, success to a champion of God, success means fulfilling God's destiny and desire in your life. It means having the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God, because you need to know this. You need to know this. Even champions can fall. Even champions can fall. Anyone can be lured into the intoxication of success. Anyone. If not anchored by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, success can just mesmerize a person and they can become obsessed with success and totally miss God. Even trying in the right vein. As believers, we have three mortal enemies. And I'm going to give them to you. Believers in Christ have three mortal enemies. The flesh, the devil, and the world. And each one of those have their goal. They have a goal in your life. The goal of the flesh is to give you pleasure without God. The goal of Satan is to make you religious without God. And the goal of the world is to make you successful without God. Flesh, pleasure without God. Satan, religious without God, and the world successful without God. So how do we stave off these assaults? Well, I can tell you, it starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Word of God. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. The Word says, "Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." And then there's 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, 12. And I'm just going to pop it on the screen because we're going to move through that one and move on. But I want you to see these two scriptures. Deuteronomy says, you know, God gives you the power to get wealth. And then 1 Chronicles says, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign, God, over all. In your hand, God's hand, is power and might. In your hand, God's hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. And these two scriptures we just read, God says, it's He who gives us the power to gain wealth. And he is the true source of riches and honor. And just for this discussion, we'll use wealth as a synonym for success. Although I don't believe at all that's the only measure of success. Okay? Are you with me? Wealth is not the only measure of success. But for illustration purposes, that's what we'll use right now for this discussion. Know this. Know this. Money itself is not bad or evil. Okay? Money is not sinful. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that verse is often misquoted because love is the root of all, money is the root of all evil, and that's not true. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But you know, there's also the other extreme where people adopt the mentality that to be truly spiritual, you have to live poor or in poverty. And too often Christians are taught it's more spiritual to be poor, and that's not biblical. That is not biblical. You see, the ability to obtain wealth or to be successful in anything comes from God alone. He can give the ability to get it, and he can bring the ability to lose it. Look in Deuteronomy there again. And I didn't tell you to stay there, and I meant to. I apologize. But verse 19, it says, then it shall be. Let me just back up to verse 18 because they tie together. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. A champion knows the same God who allows success is the same God who can take it away if you get off the path. Pastor Jack Hayford, who's a great Bible teacher and pastor over the years, has said recently that an arrogant spirit has crept into the body of Christ to the point that the rules don't count anymore. Think about that. The rules don't count anymore. See, people feel validated by success, and the attitude is it's just permanent and unending, and it won't end. But it's not necessarily the devil who causes failure. You see, the scripture we just read here warns us unrepentant disobedience can cause the blessing to stop. You know, often it's not a question of can you be successful. The question is, can God trust you to handle success? Can you manage it his way? Will you still treat people properly, or will you act differently toward them? Can you relate to people who don't have your level of success? I want you to look at this scripture from the Psalms, and it's from the Living Bible. Robbie, if we could put that next scripture up. Psalm 75 says, I warn the proud to cease their arrogance. I told the wicked to lower their insolent gaze and to stop being stubborn and proud. For promotion and power come from nowhere on earth but only from God. He promotes one and deposes another. Success, you see, is in the open hand of God. Success is in the open hand of God, and he can close it in his will and in his way. The Bible teaches us that success comes from God, and he has the power to raise a person up or to bring a person down. And the devil, you know, he puts his own spin on it. Turn over to the New Testament to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. The devil loves that because he puts his own spin on it. And we see early on, before Jesus really even began his ministry, Satan tried to spin it on him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Now, the Spirit had led Jesus up into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days by the devil. And here in verse 8, he says, the enemy, it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Can you imagine? You've seen some of these views from maybe out west, looking across some of those mountains, standing on one of those high cliffs, and you can just look for hundreds of miles. And here the devil has got Jesus up in a place like that, and he says, all the kingdoms, look at them. And he says, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. All these I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. You see, when the devil tries to cut a deal with you, he says, you can have it all. You can have it all. Wealth, power, position. But all you have to do is bow before me. And the word bow here, in the context that it's used here, is in the context of worship. You know, that's really all Satan wants. He just wants to be worshiped. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. He was God's right-hand man. He was God's worship leader. And he led people to worship the Lord every day. And he decided, you know, I'm leading this thing. I ought to be worshiped. Well, that's another story. But that's what he wants. He wants to be worshiped still today. And so the word here for bow is in the, and you teachers will recognize this if I say it right, the aorist tense, which means at a specific point in time. You see, the devil was telling Jesus, all you have to do, you can have all this if you'll just bow down right now. Just this one time right now. Just once. Right now. Sound familiar? Isn't that the line that he uses on us? Just one time. Just one more time. Come on. Nobody will know. One time won't hurt. Remember, Adam and Eve only ate the fruit one time. David only slept with Bathsheba one time. So the champion of God. For the champion of God, I say to you, champion of God, what's your price? What can make you compromise your integrity for the sake of success? See, here's the real deal that the enemy offers. He'll give you what you want. He'll even help you get it if you'll just bow one time. And then you'll pay for it more than one time. And here's the point. Champions put no price on their integrity or their testimony. Champions put no price on their integrity or their testimony. Turn over to James, toward the back of your Bible, James chapter 5. James 5, beginning in verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That means the Lord of the armies or the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And you have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. If you're a Christian and you own a business or you are in a business and you have employees reporting to you that are responsible to you, you, listen to me, you should be setting the example of how to treat subordinates. You should be looked to by unsaved workers, co-workers, as the pattern to follow. Champions stand out as different by their deeds. Champions stand out as different, being different. By their deeds. If your walk with Christ, listen to me, if your walk with Christ doesn't impact your walk in life, then you're not where you need to be in relationship with Christ. If your interaction with people every day is not affected by your relationship with God, something's missing. Something's not right. You see, champions don't lie to get ahead. They don't pass on rumors. They don't carelessly damage reputations. God's word, listen to this. God's word is not the standard for unbelievers. It's the standard and the authority over those who claim the name of Jesus. Yes, it'll go against the grain of today's culture, but hear this. Champions are to rise as examples in touching, in uplifting, and encouraging others. Champions are to rise as examples in touching, uplifting, and encouraging others. Listen, God is not impressed with how we come in here and deal with people at church on Sunday. Whether we speak in tongues or we dance in the aisles or we raise our hands, He's not nearly as impressed with that as He is about how you treat people out there when you leave here. That's what counts in His book. If you're going to handle success in a God-honoring way, your focus can't be on success. Your focus is to be on the giver of success. Your focus is to be on the giver of success. And success will take care of itself. As a champion, your focus has to be on your relationship with God. You must recognize the strategy of the enemy, which is to pervert the calling that God's put on your life. Listen, success, no matter what form it comes in, will not make you happy. And let me say that again. Success, no matter what form it comes in, will not make you happy. And in fact, the Bible teaches it's foolishness to think that it'll make you happy. Satan, on the other hand, he teaches, he wants to convince you that you can't be happy without success. The world's idea of success. Hey, you know what? People can be successful without God. You know that? People can be successful without God. It's just that it's living a life in the joy of the Lord that really, truly makes one happy. Proverbs 13:22 says, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. You see, success for the champion of God is not seen in him or her or their children. The measure of success of champions is seen in the behavior and the beliefs and the lifestyle of their grandchildren. God measures success transgenerationally, not financially. You see, there's no greater area that will test your integrity, your character, your relationship with God, or your faithfulness to God than how you handle success in any form. Financial blessing, relational blessing, prosperity, or relationships, it doesn't matter. If you're successful financially, do you honor God with your finances? Do you tithe and give offerings over and above as God directs? If you're successfully married, is God the center point? If you're enjoying a successful relationship outside of marriage, are you honoring God's principles in that relationship? I don't think I have to spell that out. What do those situations say about your character? What do those situations say about your character? In Genesis 22, chapter 22, God tested Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would populate the earth with his descendants. And at that time, he had one son, Isaac. God woke him up one morning. He said, Abraham, get up, take your son, your only son, to a place where I'll show you, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. The Bible, if you read it in the Bible, Abraham didn't hesitate. He got up that morning and began to prepare. He chopped wood, loaded the mule, and headed out. And got to the mountain. He saw the mountain where he was to go to. And he told the guys that were with him, stay here. You guys stay here. me and the boy will go and worship God, and then we will come back. And you know, he got up there, he built the altar, put the wood, got the wood ready, tied his son up, put him on the altar, and pulled a knife and got ready to kill him and offer him as a burnt offering. And an angel of the Lord stopped him and said, "Stop, Abraham, I now know that you value me more than anything." More than anything. You see, Abraham was willing to give up his prized possession, his only son, to hold on to God. So let me ask you this morning, what are you willing to let go of? No matter how lucrative or appealing, if hanging on to it causes you to compromise who you are in Christ. If there's something you're doing that has a negative impact on your relationships, at some point you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? If you're trying to keep one foot in the world and the other foot in Jesus, there's got to come a time when you ask yourself, is it worth the price? Where do you draw the line? Where do you separate success and compromise? You see, true champions of God are willing to give up or pass on anything, anything that would compromise their walk with God. So, champions, you want to handle success. Keep God first. Keep God first in everything. That's your shield. That's your hedge of protection. That's your guarantee. So let me ask you this morning, are you successful or maybe seeking success? Nothing wrong with that. How are you handling it? Do you need to correct or adjust your perspective on success? What is God saying to you this morning through this message? Take some time right now. I want you to just take some time right now to respond to what you sense He's telling you. Let's just bow our heads and just focus in on God for a minute. Let me ask you those questions again. Are you successful or seeking success this morning? And as I said, there's nothing wrong with that. The question is, how are you handling it? Do you need to adjust your perspective on success? You know, for some people, success has got to be on top. The truth is, there's all levels of success. There's all ways of success. For others, they look at the top and say, I'll never be successful. And that's a deception from the enemy. What's God saying to you this morning through this message? Do you need to make a correction or an adjustment in your journey to or for or with success? Do you need to make Jesus your Savior this morning? We'll pray with you if that's what you want. But it's time now to respond to God's Word. You respond how He asks you to respond this morning. If you need prayer this morning, we're happy to pray with you. God moves through prayer. If you have a prayer need this morning, let us pray with you this morning. I believe God wants us all to be successful. But we won't all be successful in the same way. Except for one, there is one way that we all can be successful. And that's in relationship with Christ. Knowing Jesus, knowing God, and drawing near to Him. We can all be successful in doing that because Jesus created that path and that opportunity for success. Father, I pray this morning for every person sitting here today. I know there's a champion, Father. There's a champion in each person sitting here today. In some, it's being released. In others, not yet. But we know, God, by your word, that you want us to be successful with you and in you. You want to release that champion, that life champion in us, in each one of us. So I pray, Father, today that we would begin to realize and believe that there is a champion in each one of us, a champion for God, a champion that will stand up and rise up in faith, in power, in strength for you, for your cause, for your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you and praise you this morning that you're releasing that in this place. You're releasing champions in this place called Heart Cry. You're releasing them to be successful in you and with you. God, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. God, we believe you for that. Help us to handle our successes, whatever they may be, wherever they may be in our particular journey. Help us to handle our successes in a godly way, in your way, with your blessing, with your favor, with your anointing. Anointing us with a spirit of generosity, a spirit of love, a spirit of faith. Father, we thank you today for those things. And God, we thank you for our provisions. Provisions of shelter, of food, of clothing, of necessities in life. We thank you, God, that you're our protector, our sustainer. You are our next breath, our first and our last. We thank you, God, for your healing provision. So, God, as we prepare to bring our tithes and our offerings to you, Father, we lay all that before you. And we say thank you. Thank you for being our provider, being our guard, our protector, our healer, our hope. So God, we demonstrate our faith and our love for you in just another way as this. And we do it all in the name above all names. The name above all names, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Amen. If you made any kind of decision this morning, please fill out that care card and just jot it down on the back, or maybe check it if you accepted Christ or recommitted your life. We just want to send you some information and encourage you. If you're watching online, you made a decision today, or you have a prayer need, go to our website, contact us. We get those prayer requests each week on the website, and we'd be happy to know that you made a decision watching online. And if you'll do that, we'll certainly send you some information as well. Ushers, if you'll come now and receive our tithes and our offerings this morning.